In the Our Father prayer, we pray the words, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's a prayer we repeat often as Catholics, several times a day, in fact, when we pray the Holy Rosary. But what do we mean when we say, Thy kingdom come? And who is the king we serve? And who serves us? What's his role in my life? With me today to help us prepare for an upcoming celebration of the solemnity of Christ the King, King of the Universe, is Father Michael Barbarossa. Father Michael is the parochial vicar at St. Rose Church in Longview, Washington. Good morning, Father Michael. Thanks for joining us today on The Morning Blend.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
This is a beautiful time of the year. The seasons are changing, fall, and soon winter will come. And it seems like every time I look out the window, it's dark outside. But there's a reflection from what nature shows us to what's happening within our lives, in our spiritual life. We close the liturgical year with this feast, Christ the King, but it's Christ the King of the Universe. What can you tell us about this feast? And we can talk a little bit about its placement in our liturgical year and in the calendar year.
This is very much an eschatological feast. That's a big word that simply means it deals with the end times, with the judgment that will come at the end and the restoration of creation that God the Father wants to do through his Son, Jesus. And we know there are changing of seasons in our lives, as you mentioned, the seasons of the year. But also we all experience different seasons in our spiritual lives, seasons of joy and hope, seasons of difficulty or sadness, maybe the loss or grieving of a loved one or a transition in our life. This feast reminds us that everything in our spiritual lives is moving us toward that end. And that's not meant to be something of doom and gloom, but really of hope that Christ is drawing us forward to that beautiful restoration in heaven. I think of what St. Paul says to the Philippians in chapter 3 of that letter, where he talks about moving forward always in our upward calling in Christ Jesus. And that's really what Christ the King, this feast day, is about. It's about being drawn forward to that final goal of our heavenly home.
I love hearing about that pilgrimage. I mean, we are pilgrims and we have this world and the things that we do in our daily lives, raising families, going to work, studying, you know, contributing to our community, but yet it's not the end goal. The end goal is to be with Christ. And when we hear that title, I think it's so beautiful. And I'm reminded sometimes by some priests, is Jesus Christ King of the Universe? I mean, there's this vastness of his realm, so to speak. And we, you know, hear of kings, we think of maybe a particular land that one person rules with subjects, but Jesus's kingship and kingdom goes way beyond that.
It's a beautiful reminder too, that we are not the only part of creation, that the angels, the saints who have gone before us, all of these other creatures, these beings God has created, are all part of our universe, our world. And God, of course, stands above all that. And again, that's a sign of hope and joy for us that we get to be a part of that community of all his creatures.
Absolutely. We're talking with Father Michael. He is at Immaculate Heart of Mary Church in Kelso, also St. Rose in the Longview area. And we're preparing for the Feast of Christ the King. We mentioned that it comes actually be right before Thanksgiving, and then it leads us into this Advent season. You mentioned transition, Father, and during this month, we'll remember. Well, in fact, we begin the month with All Souls and All Saints. Give us a little sense of this end times, this reality of death in our lives, but how we can approach that again with that sense of hope.
The reality of death is all around us, sadly, in the sense of the seasons, as you mentioned, the time of earth preparing for winter. But also, I'm sure that death has touched our lives, each of us, in different ways. But as Christians, death is actually one of the most beautiful things for us because it is a gateway to new life. I think of that often when I celebrate funerals for people. And I use that word celebrate very intentionally because we don't often think of death as a time for that, but we're celebrating that passage to new life. It's one of the prayers that the church does most beautifully, actually, I believe. And so the feast of Christ the King coming at the end of our liturgical year is a reminder of the preparation that we're called to undertake always for our own transition into new life, not just at our physical death, but that spiritual transition, dying to self, living more fully the life that we've received in our baptism. And that's a call that we have to receive and undertake each and every day of our lives. But especially as we prepare for a new year and look forward to our preparation for Christmas with the Advent season, we remember this ending of our old selves and beginning of new life.
Right. And we can't do it alone. I think about this journey, you know, when we go on a journey, we always pack things with us, things to help guide us, a map, a compass, extra food, but we need one another. And then ultimately we need God. Reflect a little bit on this journey. You know, as we talk about thy kingdom come, we're journeying to the kingdom. How do we better cooperate, work with one another, but really look to guides in that pilgrimage and journey?
And what is the kingdom of God on earth? Well, Jesus tells us that it's not something that we can say, look, here it is, or look, there it is. It's already present in seed form among us. And like you mentioned, we have guides on that journey. Of course, God himself, but also, I always love going back to St. Paul, faith, hope, and love, the theological virtues, are in a special way given to us for the increase and growth of that kingdom on earth and to guide our relationships with one another. As you mentioned, we're journeying together and we're trying to pray and strive for this kingdom to come among us together. And so the way that we relate to each other and to our God really colors that kingdom. And in a way too, you mentioned the word pilgrimage or journey. At the same time that we receive these gifts from God for the sake of our journey, these guides, we're also trying to lighten our load. We're trying to get rid of things that are hindering us on the journey. And that's why, especially in this month of November, as we look to the last things, not just death, but the reality of judgment, the reality of heaven, but of course of hell too, these promises that God has given, we know that we have to let go of certain things if we want to have the capacity to receive the fullness of God. That's a part of our journey too.
Right. Well, and that just makes me think, Father Michael, about the season. And you mentioned again that word transition. And there's an invitation, I think, in the church, especially with the scriptures that we hear, to look inward. Okay, what is it that I need to let go of? What is it? And is it a relationship that I need to repair? Is it a habit that I need to start getting rid of? Maybe ways that I can approach this time of fall, this season, what should fall maybe out of my life or fall into my life and using Christ the King as my guide, as my leader.
And the image of Christ as our King is actually closely related in the Old Testament to the image of the Good Shepherd or of Christ, the Shepherd of his people. And I say that because of what you just mentioned, that certain things that need to fall out of our lives or fall into our lives. A good shepherd cares for the sheep, but that doesn't always just mean providing nourishment. It can also mean healing. It can also mean setting a limb when it's broken or doing things that in the moment may be painful or difficult, but are for the long-term good of his flock. And also, when we say the word king, I think a lot of us think of that medieval image of a king ruling over his subjects. Even that too, a king is one who helps guide, helps the subjects come to their full potential, their full personality within his kingdom. And so Christ the King is helping us do that. Sometimes that requires that painful but healthy process of growth and letting go of things and being healed by him.
Right. We're talking with Father Michael Barbarossa here in the Archdiocese of Seattle. And Father Michael, I am coming up on a break, but I do want to talk a little bit more about this solemnity and ways that it can impact our own faith life. Will you stay with me and we can continue our conversation in the next half hour?
Yes, thank you.
This is Dina Marie, and I'm back with my guest, Father Michael Barbarossa, parochial vicar at St. Rose Church in Longview, Washington. We've been preparing for the feast of, actually, it's called the Solemnity of Jesus Christ, King of the Universe. And this is our final Sunday before we enter into a new liturgical year. Although the calendar still says 2022, the church begins a little bit early in her wisdom. And Father Michael, thanks for spending some time, taking a little bit of time out of your day to help with us really reflect on these seasons. We've been talking about, and we'll hear, I hope our listeners listen to those Sunday Mass readings, particularly in November, because this is this focus of the end times. But Jesus came as a king And he mystified those around him. You know, people were waiting for a Messiah or a king that would do maybe some of these great king things, lead us into freedom. But this kingship and this type of a king that Jesus is a different type of king that maybe we would have expected, or people like Peter and Paul and James and John would have expected.
The glory of Christ the King, at least in St. John's gospel, reaches its pinnacle on the cross. We see the crowning with thorns, for example, leading up to this. But the structure of his gospel really highlights this as the moment of the king's glory. And you're right, it's a little bit odd from an earthly perspective, but I think it has to deal a lot with vision and what it means to have renewed vision through our eyes of faith. I say that because I think often we focus in the Christian life on the will, on learning to do the things of the Christian life, growing in the strength to do right and avoid evil. Certainly that's important, but we also have to have eyes to see in humility and trust where God is present and how he's working, and to see the selfless giving, the most perfect act of love that's visible on the cross. And so the glory of Christ the King, I think, is something that we can only see as we take on those eyes of faith.
Right. Father Michael, you and I and some of the team at St. Rose and Immaculate Heart and St. Mary's and Castle Rock, we're on the RCIA preparation team. And I think about helping people develop those eyes, because how do we start to see not just what's of this world? Because if we hear the title, Christ the King of the Universe, I mean, it goes beyond what we can actually grasp with our vision that's man-made. But it goes to a more supernatural seeing. How can we start to develop that sight, the sight of Zacchaeus, who can see Jesus in a different way and recognize this love that only comes from God?
Receptivity is a big part of that, especially in prayer. What I mean by that is, we often wonder how to pray. And going back to what you mentioned about our RCIA folks that are journeying with us, they want to learn how to pray more deeply. And there's many beautiful prayers of our tradition that we can give them. But I love to encourage them also simply to sit the Blessed Sacrament, sit in the church, or even in a peaceful place at home, maybe with the crucifix or the scriptures near them, and prepare to receive the good things that God has given. I think of what St. Paul says in the letter to the Romans, of cling to what is good. You mentioned Zacchaeus also. That joy of the good things of God coming into our life, that changes our perspective. I think that opens our eyes to begin to see how the things of our life, the blessings, the things we might call coincidences, are really the workings of providence. It's one great way to train our eyes of faith.
Right. And again, we talked about the gift of God's grace, and that's so beautiful in this time of the year. It seems like for those who are Catholic, the sacrament of reconciliation, what a wonderful time during this season. While it's not required, so to speak, it certainly is something that will help us to prepare to let go of certain things, maybe take on things that are going to be more helpful. How do we encounter Christ the King in that sacrament of reconciliation?
Like all the sacraments, reconciliation incorporates us into Christ's life, but in a special way, as a sacrament of healing, it renews that baptismal identity. So that's the first thing I would say in terms of its connection to Christ the King. In baptism, we received Christ's identity as priest, prophet, and king, meaning that we share in his act of leading by our self-gift, by our example for others. In reconciliation, in addition, of course, to forgiving the guilt of sin, I love to tell penitents when I'm giving the sacrament that one of the graces is that strengthening to avoid temptation and to live the Christian life. And so it's not just that God washes away the bad, he certainly does that, but he also renews and strengthens for the sake of the life he's called us to follow that example of Christ and to be Christ, the King's representatives in our world.
Right. Well, we know in our country during this month, we're going to be preparing for Thanksgiving. I mean, this is going to be, and a lot of times there's travel, there's gatherings going on, and it can be a joyful time, or there could be not everybody in my family gets along, or we even have practice the same faith or have, obviously it's a political season. We just had a voting time. So there can be a lot of stress or maybe some division in these communities. And I wonder how we can approach inviting Christ the King into where there might be some difficulties that are in our own families or small communities.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And it's also a time for anyone who's lost a loved one, for example, this past year, the holidays, Thanksgiving, and as we move toward Christmas are particularly painful in that way. But you're right that inviting Christ the King into our lives, I think surrender is the word that comes to mind for me. Because if we really do not only believe, but submit to Christ as our King, if we really do give our faith and our trust to him, then that means that we believe that he will guide us. After all, a king is meant to rule, to help make decisions on behalf of his people and for the sake of his people. And so to invite Christ the King into those situations means to surrender, to approach those things with prayer before we have those interactions with family members, especially if there's tension or been disunity in the past, if we find it to be a painful time, to explicitly invite God into those moments and to place all of that in his hands. I think of the beautiful prayers we have in our tradition of trust and of surrender, of humility, for example.
Absolutely. We're talking with Father Michael Barbarossa. He's here in the Archdiocese of Seattle. Immaculate Heart of Mary Church is where I see him most every Sunday, but also parochial vicar at St. Rose Church in Longview, Washington. When you talk about a king, maybe we can get a sense to make Jesus more approachable, some of those qualities that we hear about in the scriptures that we see in Jesus's life himself is what kind of a king is Jesus? I hear King Jesus, you know, we're on Jesus's team, so to speak, but what kind of qualities do I want to know about so that I will turn my life over to this king?
Thanks for asking that, because it's a beautiful reflection that I think throws us back to the Old Testament, because the image of the king is very much tied up with the Savior, the Messiah that the people were always awaiting. And one of the major roles of the king there is to gather the lost or scattered tribes of Israel, to bring his people back into one. And I think unity is something that we all realize we need more of in our life right now, whether that's unity in our civil society, unity in our church, certainly, unity in families. And so Christ the King gathers his people. And as part of that, as we mentioned earlier, he brings healing to those places in our life that are in need of it so that we can have the wholeness and the relational ability to love and to care for each other more beautifully.
I love it. It's so great. And it's, you know, a beautiful feast day to be able to transition into this time of Advent. And I guess as we come to a close today, Father Michael, your prayer for us as we prepare for Thanksgiving and then we enter into this joyous time of the Advent season, what are your hopes to really bless us and that we can take advantage of this time to grow in our faith?
I think prayer, the spirit of prayer, is the most important. And that would be my hope, that everyone find a time, especially as we approach Advent, which I always think of as a season of quiet, of stillness, of that hidden waiting for the coming of God, to devote some more time in our life, whether that just be 10 minutes in the morning or evening, to that receptivity in prayer, to giving thanks to God, but opening ourselves to listen to his voice. That would be my main hope.
That's a good suggestion. Again, Father Michael Barbarossa with us, Immaculate Heart of Mary Parish in Kelso and St. Rose in Longview. Father Michael, thanks for spending some time with us today. Would you help us close in leading us in a prayer and your blessing?
Yes, I'd like to use Psalm 72 for this, a prayer for the King. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. O God, give your judgment to the King, your justice to the Son of Kings, that he may govern your people with justice, your oppressed with right judgment, that the mountains may yield their bounty for the people and the hills great abundance, that he may defend the oppressed among the people and save the poor. May he live as long as the sun endures, like the moon, through all generations. Heavenly Father, you've given us Christ as our shepherd and our king. Hear the prayers and praises of your people as Christ gathers us together and leads us home on our pilgrimage of life to our heavenly home with you. We ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit come down on all of you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father Michael. And you have a blessed Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too. All of you out there.